Oh, it's good to have you in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be here with you to worship God and to just to love on him, amen? I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm longing for heaven. I just can't wait. And that we see but a glimpse right now. I'm longing for heaven for the day that we'll actually be able to be in his full presence. You know, some people say, oh, you know what, man, you know, in this world and all the troubles and everything else. Listen, if God's presence wasn't in this world right now, oh, my Lord, you think we got it bad now? Nothing would go right. Because every good thing comes from the Father above. And if he pulled himself out, guess what? All good things are being pulled out. Amen? And that, do we really believe that? And that the reason why we got some good here, and you might say, yeah, but you know, I got some friends, co-workers, they're not saved and they're good. Absolutely they are. Why? Because God made us all in his image. Amen? And that he's just longing for us to come into this relationship with him. We've been in a series these last few weeks about names. And that they, you know, you're important. You matter to God. And that the name of God, Yahweh, that's the name he's given to us. We have over 900 plus titles, characteristics, attributes of who God is. Why? Because God says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. It's really hard for us to comprehend just how big this God is. I don't know about you. Let me just bring it simple. It's hard for me to comprehend the fact that God wants to forgive me when I do wrong. Because sometimes I have a hard time forgiving someone else. Because it hurts, it stings. Because it's close to home. It's easy to say, it's hard to do. But yet I have a God that's so willing to always, always love on me. Always forgive me. Always draw me close. And that as I come and say, God, would you forgive me? He's like, absolutely. And he says not only that, he says, far as the east is the west, I will remember it no more. And if God, the king of the universe, the one that breathed everything into existence, says, I'll remember it no more, then I don't think you and I have a right to remember it about someone else or even about ourselves. It's time for us to lay down some hatchets. Amen? It's time for us to lay down some things that they're really just distractions of the enemy. Satan is out to rob, kill, and destroy. Don't be a part of his plan. Don't grab a hold of his things because everything he gives leads to death. Everything God gives leads to life and life more abundant. Oh, God has got a plan and he's got a way. We talked in the very first, I shared a little bit about who I am and that as I'm a little new here. My name is Pastor Phil. If this is your first Sunday, just to let you know from that end, I'm the new lead pastor here. I'm just so excited. We have such a phenomenal, phenomenal leadership team. I just feel like I am blessed. I feel like a kid in a candy store. And that man, I can just walk in and they're like, you can have anything. I'm just like blown away just how blessed we are here at Rock Cliff. And we're just so glad for you to be a part of it. But I shared a little bit of who I am. And in short, I'm just going to summarize it this way. I feel like I'm like Indiana Jones. I'm a treasure hunter. And 2 Corinthians 4:7 is kind of like a life scripture in that, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So I'm on a treasure hunt to pull up God inside of each and every one that I can. And that to pull up those that gems and that goodness because God says he's placed the gift in all of us. That we're all trophies for him. Amen? And so that's why we're here. And that's why we just feel that we are better together. Then we also shared is why is the word of God so important? Why is it that at Rock Cliff, everything we do, we bend everything towards the word. Even when we don't like it. Even when it's an ouch. Instead of an amen, because we want it to go this way. But then we read in the word, oh, you know what God's saying? No, that will lead to a dead end. Okay, God, we're going to turn around, but it seems so good. It seems so good. And the reason why is because John chapter 1, verse 1 says that the word of God is Jesus. It's revealing Jesus, God, and Holy Spirit, that every word is inspired and breathed by him. And that if you want to get to know who he is, just get into the word. And when you get into the Word, you'll get to know your good Father. You'll get to know Jesus. You'll get to know Holy Spirit. And listen, in that if you've ever been taught that Holy Spirit is kind of like some Casper the Ghost or some side thing, oh, please, Please allow Holy God to renew your mind. Holy Spirit is your best guide. He is your best. Make sure everything's tight up here. And that he's your best friend and that he is your comforter. He is the one. Jesus says, you know what? He says, it is so good for me to go because if I go, I will send the comforter. Jesus couldn't be with his disciples 24/7, right? He went up to the mountain by himself. He moved aside, went and prayed by himself. You know, he wasn't everywhere at one time. He had the limitations of a human being like you and me, but Holy Spirit has no limitations. And he can be anywhere, everywhere, all at once. He can be dealing with a thousand things and still think about you and still be with you. Well, that's the God that we serve. Then we talked about last week, we talked about how God shapes, how we think about God shapes our whole picture and our relationship with him. And what we believe God thinks about us determines how close we will grow to him. We talked just a little bit about some of his characteristics and that about Yahweh or Jehovah is the English word for Yahweh. Rapha, the Lord our healer. Oh, when you go to God and that he is able to heal you. And that if we have any doctors or nurses here, I say thank you. You are God's gift to us. God's part of his plan of healing is brought into your life. Don't forget to call out to him when you're doing whatever you're doing because he's moving through you, amen? Your hands are God's hands extended, healing hands, amen? And so when you go ahead and minister, that's the key word, not work, but minister. And that know that God is already for you. Yahweh Rapha is flowing in and through you as you minister healing hands towards those you work with. See, God is revealing himself in so many ways. He's wanting us to open up our eyes to see that, wait a minute here, God, you are at work. You haven't forgot us. He still heals today in many ways, not just through doctors and nurses, but he heals through the laying on of hands, which makes no sense. It's not like we kind of get our hands rubbed up and if we touch them, it's shock hits them and something happens. Not at all. It's called the prayer of faith. That when we pray and lay hands upon something, we actually believe that with God, all things are possible. That cancer is small c, Christ is capital C. Amen? He still trumps everything. And that helps us in our unbelief. So many times we get beat up and so many times we get renewed by the ways of the world that we don't even understand that most of us, we walk by and operate mostly by the rules of the world. Not God's rules, not God's ways. Because we're so accustomed to this is the way of life and this is what we do that we've forgotten. And God wants to renew our minds. He wants to awaken us from a slumber. He wants to encourage us to say, hey, I don't want you just to get a ticket to heaven. I want you to participate in bringing heaven down to earth so everyone around can taste and see that I am good. Oh, we serve an amazing, amazing Father. Yahweh or Jehovah Jireh, he's our provider. And that the Word of God says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. Oh, don't get me wrong. And that I've been through some really tough times in life. I remember rubbing pennies together just to see if we had enough to eat, my wife and I. I know what it is to have not a lot. And I know what it is to have plenty. And as Paul says, I've just learned to be content that in all circumstances, he is still Yahweh Jireh. He is still my provider. Amen? And that is we put our trust in him, Yahweh Nissi, the Lord, our banner. Oh, listen, if you're getting distracted by things in the world or just, you know, kind of getting off track, your banner, your ground zero is the cross. Just come back and get yourself positioned under the cross again and say, Jesus, just help me focus again. I got off track. Why? Because my kids are just frustrating me, you know, and instead of disciplining them, I'm kind of moving into punishment mode. Oh, God, you know, help me. Or you're at work and all of a sudden that coworker irritates you. Your spouse gets under your skin because they stole too much covers or whatever. Can I simply say it this way, and please forgive me, Lord, but You know, when someone irritates you and bothers you, if I could just be honest, it has very little to do about them. And it's God trying to reveal something in you that he wants to deal with. Amen? I know that might be an ouch. You can say that too. But it's the truth. When someone bothers or someone gets under the skin, it has less to do about them and their action, and it has everything to do about my heart and my attitude. God, renew in me. Renew in me a right spirit. Because I should be able to love on anything that comes my way. In fact, no one, let me repeat this, no one can offend me. I choose to take an offense. And some of us have just come too accustomed to taking offense. We forgot about the great I am who dwells inside of us, our great banner that we can reset at and say, you know what? No, I'm not giving that person control. I gave it to you, Jesus. So I'm just going to do what you said, and I'm going to love on them. How many know, how do you stop an argument? Love on it? It takes two to argue, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, you're like, you know what? Absolutely, you know what? You are right. I shouldn't have responded that way. You know what? You are right. And that this really doesn't matter. And all of a sudden, diffusion happens. And then really, a relationship can develop. Instead of this facade, fake we put on just because we want everyone to like us. No, let's just be real with each other. And to love back and forth and see what God will do. Yahweh, Ra, the Lord, our shepherd. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord, our peace. We talked about that word, and I don't want to go long in it, but we talked about that word, and that word is much more than just, you know, peace. But it means everything. Healing, speaking, when we say Shalom, God is our Shalom. He's our everything. He wants to be peace into your body. He wants peace in your mind. He wants peace in your circumstance. Peace in everything that's around you. Starting right here. That you can be in the midst of your storm. And that because we're not to pattern ourselves off of each other. Pattern off of the disciples. We're to pattern off one. And that's Jesus. And when I remember that story of the big storm, and they were, the fishermen, the disciples, they were avid fishermen. They knew what they were doing. When they were out in the water, they knew the water. But that storm must have been pretty fierce to grip their heart like it did. But yet in the middle of it, what was Jesus doing? He was just laying down, and he was having a sleep in the middle of that. Well, the disciples are running around bailing ship and looking, we're going to die, we're going to die. And yet Jesus is sleeping in the midst of his storm. Can you find that rest in the midst of your storm? You see, that rest is in Yahweh Shalom. It's not in the absence of problem, but it's you looking up a little higher than your problems at him and allow his peace just to flood your soul. Oh, God is much more than we ever thought he was. Let's not put him into a box. Well, this is how he operates. This is who he is. He's trying to break out of that. Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is ever present. Until you know God as he is, you'll never become all that he's created you to be. Each thought of his name, his title, his attributes, the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross should bring us nearer and nearer to our Savior, wanting to draw closer to him. Wow, I never knew that. And we just want to grow closer to him. We just want to come in closer. And that's his bid. That's his call. Come unto me, all those who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Cast all your cares upon me. Dump it on me. It's okay. I'm big enough. Because I care for you. God never created you and me to be that big to carry things. And when we start carrying things we shouldn't carry, it ends up corrupting, it ends up warping, it ends up putting so much stress onto our heart, onto our spirit, that we just have a hard time seeing clearly and moving clearly. Our natural relationships are formed by perceptions. I mean, you know, perception is everything. Some people might say in life, they look at every circumstance and they say that expression, it's a glass is half empty. where someone else is walking around, they seem like excited, they look at a glass and they, wow, that's half full. Kind of like the little boy. I heard this story once. This little boy, he's kind of skipping through the park, and he's so excited. And as he's going through, this older gentleman was sitting on a park bench, and he says, what are you so excited about? He says, oh, I just got back from Sunday school, and I just learned that God and that parted the Red Sea and caused it to come in and took out all the enemy and that are the armies. And he was just so excited. He was intrigued about it all. And the gentleman's like, well, you know, well, actually, that didn't really happen. I'm a professor at the university down the road. And he says, you know what? That didn't really happen that way. In fact, he says, you know what? In that time of year, it's thought right now that at that time of year, it wasn't this big sea. It was just about 3 inches of water, you know? And so really, it wasn't anything big for God to kind of move some things. So we don't even know if God really exists. Well, the kid gets even more excited. Are you kidding me? 3 inches? God drowned the whole Egyptian army in 3 inches? Whoa, God, you're even bigger than I thought. Perception is everything. Oh, listen to me. How easy is it to turn around and write someone off because you don't quite understand them? Because they just didn't smile when you thought they should smile. When they just didn't do something you thought that they should do. Perception is everything. Not only are our natural relations formed by our perceptions of how each other and how we see each other, but also how we think others see us. You hear that thing, judging a book by the cover? That's terrible advice. Terrible advice. I'll be honest with you, sometimes the most sour people on the outside, when you're at least going up to them because they don't smile so much, is Christians. You know, like, honestly, we should be the most excited people ever. We should be smiling all the time, that, you know, kind of like your wedding pictures, ladies, you know, and your cheeks hurt so much because you couldn't stop smiling, you know, or whatever. I mean, that should be the way we are. Judging a book by the cover is not fair. Because we never know quite what's happened. Reminds me of another story of a dad, and he had two young boys, and they were on the plane. The boys were just, they were boys. They were jumping over seats. They were running around. They were kind of making noise and poking at each other. And as they'd go by, not on purpose, they'd nudge someone's arm. People were getting a little bit perturbed on the plane. Like, you know, what on earth? Like, the dad's just very quiet, and he's just sitting there like, what is the guy thinking? Like, hello, your kid, wake up. You know, it's not our responsibility. You have the kid. And people were oblivious to the fact that here this father was sitting on the plane. His wife had just died. He's trying hard to comprehend. He's got his wife's body in the cargo hold of the plane, and he's flying back with his two boys. Well, I don't know about you, but if I was there, and anyone in their right mind had just an inkling of what was going on, would that plane would be a different atmosphere? Of course it would. Judging a book by the cover is not very fair. Amen? And so when we come to God, and we come to these most important questions in life, of what do you think about God? And what do you think he thinks about you? You see, think about it for a moment. He created you for closeness, for love, for a friendship. Are you experiencing that? No one can answer these for you, and please don't raise hands or anything, but just ponder some of these questions I'm going to ask you. His word is meant to disclose his deep personal thoughts towards you, and prayer is meant for you to disclose your deep personal thoughts towards him. Are you enjoying that kind of intimacy and a relationship with him? Do you feel you never measure up? That God is kind of down on you or waiting for you to mess up so he can discipline you? Do you often find it hard to pray? Does the thought that you are the object of his total delight seem foreign to you? That when God looks at you, he just, everything wells up inside of him of love and excitement as his son and his daughter? Do you secretly struggle to obey him because you think you might miss out on some fun around you if you completely commit to him? You see, your answer to these questions will tell you a lot about your perceptions of God. Sometimes we don't take these deep personal moments to actually think a little bit about some of the questions, and maybe I unloaded too many for you, but just grab one of them. See, how we think about God, or how we think he thinks about us, is incredibly important. And sometimes we have to actually pause and reflect a little bit more. In fact, there's one thing that I've learned about people, is the fact that we all have a longing for God. Whether we know it or not, whether we respond to it or not, it is created in every human being. That's why you can be in the backwoods of the Amazon jungle. You can be in Africa in the Sahara Desert. You can be up in Siberia in the freezing cold. You can be in the backwoods of Sulukot. You can be right here in Owen Sound. And it's the same God, Yahweh, revealing himself. All over this world, people are lifting up his name today. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands are coming to know him in greater numbers than ever before. Oh yes, I know CBC doesn't tell us that. NBC doesn't tell us that. BBC doesn't tell us that. But reality is God is reaching out in dreams and visions are some of the biggest ways he's reaching out in the Middle East right now. In a place that if you say yes to Jesus, it could mean physically beheaded, your life. It could mean job gone. It could mean ousted from your home. It could mean a long list of things. But yet Yahweh is revealing himself through dreams and visions that no one can take away. No one can take away that. And so they're willing to lay everything down. So what's the problem? Problem is our vision becomes distorted. It gets gradually happens. You know, if you're like me, I'm in my mid-40s right now, and doctors told me, you know, when you hit 43, you're going to need glasses. Well, I see actually better than 20/20, they tell me right now. But I know that there's something changing with my eyes. I just kind of sense something's changing a little bit just when I'm focusing or something happens. So I know that maybe something's coming. Jesus, touch my eyes. I'll even take the spit in the mud. It's okay, you know. No. But in that part is that it's slowly, gradually starting to shift. It doesn't always happen overnight. And likewise, for us, when we write off a relationship, a marriage, when we write off a child, or when life and we write ourselves off or we push away from God, it's never a quick instant thing. It's allowing the little foxes to spoil the grapevine, as we hear in Song of Solomon. It's that those little things that just get us and that we don't deal with, we don't put it under the blood, we don't allow God to touch that area, and we allow that irritant to stay. And then it just builds and just builds like a little piece of sand in the shoe, and after a while it feels like it's a big rock in there. It just hurts. It's exactly what happens to us. Don't let anyone pull you aside, or don't let fear cause you not to get the glasses, your perspective changed in the spiritual realm. Because really, the only one responsible for your relationship with Jesus is you. It's not me. Oh yes, God has called me to be the shepherd of the flock, and I'm trying hard to collectively bring us together because the Word of God says we're better together, we make a bigger difference together. Because we hear better, we see better, we walk better. And how will anyone know in this world that God is really alive but our love one for another as we learn to get on, as we learn to lay down things to embrace him? But ultimately, when it breaks down, I'm here trying to draw treasure. Your leadership is trying to draw treasure. The person next to you is trying to draw treasure so that you can encounter God. Because he wants you to find him. Jeremiah 29:11 to 13, I have plans, declares the Lord, for you, to give you hope and a future, not to harm you. We quote that one all the time. But let's jump one verse more. It says, when you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. I don't know about you, but maybe we just need to find him again. Maybe we just need to pause again and just find him. And that because in Matthew at 6:33 says, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When we find him, we find everything. When we find our healing or money or answers or wisdom, we get those things. And hopefully, those things will point us back towards him. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Don't be on the wrong quest. If you need to, put on some glasses. Get a change of perspective. Reminding yourself really what this is about. It's ground zero. Get back to the ground zero, the foot of the cross, and fix your eyes back on him. And allow him to draw out of you the goodness that he has already placed inside of you. I invite you on a sacred journey. On a holy one. Everyone is absolutely welcome to tread on it. But let's not do it half-hearted or thoughtlessly. Because this is the greatest quest we ever could be on, is to get to know him. Everything else pales in comparison. Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let them deny themselves. Take up their cross daily. And follow me. You're not going where no one has gone before, like Star Trek. But you're going somewhere far better. A place, ultimately, you were already designed to go. So let's talk about quickly, I've got a couple minutes left, three misconceptions that we have. Three major misconceptions that we need to address and we need to change if we really want to see God who he is. The first one is, we tend to assume God is just like me. We bring God down to a human level. Oh yes, Jesus came in human form in a little baby to show us the way. So when you want to know how do I walk, how do I move, Jesus was fully God, and fully man. He just shows that he did not use any of the authority that he had as God, and he came just as man for you and me, so that as he walked this earth, we can be like that. My little daughter, when we would be walking in the snow, and it was too deep for her, so I would blaze a trail, and sometimes I'd have to back up, and I'd have to kick it like this to try and get it so there was enough room for her little legs to come in behind me, and that... Well, in that part is God is bidding us to understand. He is not like us. Jesus came in human form to kick the make a path for us and kick the snow out of the way so we can come in behind him and follow. So we can begin to know how do we walk like this? Jesus, he didn't do anything until he was baptized in water. And when he came up, then the dove came down, which is a symbol of Holy Spirit. And God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And all of a sudden, everything sprung out of there. As he began to walk around, even demons trembled because the great I am dwelled inside. Same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That's what the Word of God says. But do we believe it? Are we ready to walk in it? It's pretty hard when we bring God down to a human level and we start to think of him as one of our buddies. We start to think about how we would deal with something or how the world deals with it, and then we bring God into that same equation. The Bible does not try to prove God exists. Rather, it assumes he exists and describes numerous attributes and character traits that he possesses. Many of these are unique to him as God and God alone. No other being has those traits. While other traits can be seen in human beings around us because he's created us in his image, but none of us are omnipresent. That means that we're everywhere at once. That I'm here, but then I'm in my house, and I'm somewhere else, and I'm somewhere else, and I'm somewhere all at once. That's only an attribute of God himself. Even the devil doesn't have that attribute. He was a created being. Misconception in the church is we give the devil way too much credit, or we give him nothing. Both extremes are dangerous. But he doesn't have that characteristic because he's not God. Star Wars brought us into this picture that God and the devil are duking it out, and sometimes the devil wins and sometimes God wins. That's not even the right picture. Renew our mind, Lord. God is so much bigger than all of that. Isaiah 40, 25 to 28 says, "To whom then will you liken me to? Or to whom shall I be equal?" This is God speaking. Says the Holy One, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by numbers, who calls them by name, by the greatness of his might and his strength, his power. Not one is missing. Who do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints nor wearies. He understands. His understanding is unsearchable. He is not like you and me. He is not like any created being. Until we're ready to be still, we will not be ready to know God." Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Or maybe it's as subtle as you've been listening so much to the news. You've been listening to so much the different things that you're feeling so weighted down, like, oh my goodness. It doesn't take long to deflate any hope inside of us that things are going to get better in this world. That things might even change. Maybe you've heard 1,000 times and that from a doctor or from someone else that, you know what, that we can't do anymore and there's nothing else we can do. And so all of a sudden hope deflates down. It's time just to look a little higher. Where your true hope comes from and your true help comes from above. He uses people and things around us, but ultimately, every good thing comes from our Father above. Do we have a right perspective? Don't assume that God is like you or anyone else around you. Secondly, we tend to reduce him to measurable and controllable terms. We love to control things. If you're a guy, that's how we're wired. We're wired to control things. We're wired to fix things. We're wired to be able to kind of make sure everything works, except the Rubik's Cube. That one was like way beyond me. And that, but you know, most things we were. But don't bring God into some controllable thing that you can feel comfortable. And when you hear me say, I pray that none of us feel comfortable in Rockcliffe. Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I'm going to put thumbtacks on your seat so when you sit down and you're like, oh, you know, and man, I shouldn't have sat there. I'm not talking like that. But when God comes into a place, we get imagery in Scripture where all of a sudden it was, take a coal from the fire, cleanse my lips. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. To John, falling as if face down before him. Even when an angel appeared, and they started to bow down before him, like, whoa, 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 don't bow before us. We're just angels. But that sense of God is in the house. Let's not allow the enemy to lull us into a place that we just get into routines. But Yahweh, He is here. He's not meant to be reduced to measurable and controllable terms. Instead of falling down as servants before an awesome God, we try to bring Him down to our level and get Him to be our servant so we can kind of get the things done that we want. Almost like a cosmic vending machine. B32, I get what I want. Okay, God, I'm over here. I need C13. Instead of, God, what is it that you're doing? What is it that you want me to learn? What is it that you want to change? What is it you want to do here? Uncomfortable or not, doesn't matter. What is it you want? Too many times we come with I need, I want. When have we paused to say, God, what do you want? What are you doing? What are you speaking? What are you saying? We come with misconceptions and we say, you know, hey, I've done this. I've read my Bible. I've done all these things. And then we tell God He's kind of obligated to give us unbelievable marriages, to make our kids turn out perfect, to never allow us to be depressed or sad, to keep any bad thing from happening from us. Well, I've got news for you. That's not the God of the Bible. That'd be dictated by man. He never promised us life to be easy. If someone told you that when you first came to Christ, just please forgive them now. Because the Bible says that we will go through trials of many kinds. Because of the foolishness of ourselves, because we're imperfect and we make mistakes. And I don't know about you, but things I did 10 years ago, I'm like, oh my Lord, I don't want anyone to know I did that. That was just crazy. You know, like that wasn't even, and God just is renewing a right spirit. He's doing things in our life. We should be growing. God's just longing for us to come into this place with Him. So Lord, renew a right spirit in us. And that is we come into a place of opening our hearts to Him and asking Him to reveal Himself. He does want you to have good marriages. He does want your kids to succeed because that's what He created them to do. He does want to bless you with health. He does want to help you in that with depression and sadness because those are tricks and lies of this enemy and in a broken world we live in. God is wanting to reveal Himself absolutely. It just doesn't always come the way we want it. But if we trust Him, it'll always come for our good and for His glory every time. So open your hearts to Him. Ask Him to renew the way you look at Him and allow Him to speak into your heart. There's a chorus that in a hymn we used to sing. It's trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we fight Him, when we try to make Him fit our boxes, when we try to move Him into a place that we can control or bring Him down to our size, we lose everything. But when we exalt Him to where He belongs, where He deserves in our own life, listen to me. I have to be careful when I say that. You can't bring Him down anyways because He's bigger than you and He's bigger than me. I can't bring Him down. Just because I say, oh God, you're not big, doesn't mean He's not big, right? It just means I'm going to miss out. So when I say that we exalt Him into that place, I'm simply saying, I don't want to miss out. And I don't want anyone to miss out on seeing His goodness. And the Bible says when we lift up Jesus, all men will be drawn unto Him. Amen? So let's stand today. Let's open up our hearts towards Him just for a moment. We've had a prophetic word, a word spoken, an exhortation spoken. If you're here today and maybe you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, but you know something drew you or someone said, hey, why don't you come out? I want to say to you, it's not by chance that you're here. God knows everything about you. In Psalms 139, you can read that and you can see. He says, I know when you sit, when you stand, I know everything. And I simply just want to echo words from your Father, your good, good Father, and say this, it's time to come home. It's time to come home where you belong because the Lord loves you and He is for you. You don't have to try and measure up. You don't have to try and be good enough and then maybe I'll come. Come as you are, He says. He says, because I love you. and that he has a plan for you, and his desire is that none of us miss it. And that's where I'm trying to share today, is that let's lift our perspective a little higher, and that as we open our hearts towards him. And Dave, I'm going to ask you just to come and grab a mic. We don't have to bring all the instruments up, but, you know, you'll sing for me anyways. I know he always says yes, so I'm glad with that. Sorry, I was looking for your mic. I can't find it. There's a chorus, Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me. Do you know that one? Okay, because that's about all I know about it right now. My head's in another place. Well, let's just pause for one moment. And we're just going to declare just with our voices and just ask him once again, God, renew a right spirit in me. I don't know why we get upset about certain things, and ask him to bring some of those things back up. If it's between a marriage or between your kids or boss or something, God, renew a right spirit in me. Maybe it's here at the church. Renew a right spirit at me. And that Jesus be lifted up in Jesus' name. Dave, would you lead us?
Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my heart to Lord, to me, Jesus,
oh, yes, Lord.
Jesus,
we exalt you,
Lord, to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my heart today, Jesus, Lord, to me.
Oh, Lord, hear the echo of our heart. Oh, sometimes our body, our flesh just doesn't line up to that, Lord, but we speak to it now and we say, you know what? No, Jesus is everything to me. Jesus is my all in all, and that you are everything you are, were, everything you are, and everything you're about to be. Would you just reveal to us once again just the awe and wonder? Bring the wow factor back into our life again. That just like that groom standing at the altar as the bride walks in and his heart just goes, oh, Lord, may that come into our hearts as we realize that you're here, that you dwell inside of us. May our heart just leap with a big breath inside of an anticipation of, wow, God, what are you going to speak? What are you going to do? What do you have to say? Wow, how are you going to impact things? God, just bring that wow factor again out of that relationship we have for you. God, we just love you so much. Thank you, God, you are ever present. Thank you, you ever forgive. Thank you, Lord, that forever and ever and ever, your love will never end. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice. And I just say, Lord, as we said earlier, may this be day one for every one of us. Not just for one or two people, but all of us. This is day one. God, today we can just start fresh and anew. Today we can just look a little different. We can act a little different. We can walk a little different. We can think a little different. Oh, we just declare this is the year of your favor, Lord. And may it just flow in every area of our life. I just bless each and every one. Lord, I just honor, Lord, you, Lord, for all that you've done. And we just give you thanks. You are a good, good Father. So we love you. We give you praise. We give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, or if you're here today and maybe you gave your heart towards the Lord during the service through that word or something, please come and talk to Pastor Nathan and I. We'd love to talk with you and share a little more about Jesus and also to pray for you if you have a need. And so if you have a need, come on up. If not, then tonight we'll see you at prayer. We've been having a phenomenal time where God is just really revealing himself. And so I encourage you, if you want to come out and be a part of that, that's at 6:30. 6:30, right, Tony? 6:30 tonight. So we just encourage you with that. God bless you all. We love you lots, and we'll see you tonight.